We're going to go back to chapter 13. I kind of rushed a lot of scriptures in there last week. And I want to be kind of clear on my presentation, because this is a tougher chapter than we imagine when you go to studying it. We can read through it, and we can look at the word love, and God can bless us tremendously with it. But this chapter is packed with it's just a loaded chapter. And there's three different views that we looked at. We'll look at a little bit more today. And I know that no scripture is given of private interpretation. But as I look at these and look at great men of God who are commenting on these scriptures, that there's some good thoughts and good ideas, and we'll kind of try to look a little better at those today. But in last week, we started and we looked at the first couple or three verses of 12 chapters. And I hope we established last week, in looking at those 12 chapters, that those gifts, those sign gifts, did not relate to character, did they? Those people were in a mess in that church. But these gifts were not given to that person because they deserved them. They were given for power. Those gifts were given for the start of the church, the spread of the word, for the power that needed to be in the church as a sign to Israel. Now, the question is, when did they disappear? That's the big thing. And like I've said many times, the only two or three people that I read behind, and every one of them has a different thought. But every one of them's thought is true to a certain extent. And you say, well, how can that be? Well, when something's complete, their thought, let's put it this way. We're looking at the word complete, perfect, in this study today. I can have a good comment, but it's not complete. Is that understandable? I mean, so let's just get on back into the Word. But we looked last week, and we covered a pretty good bit there of those 12 chapters leading up to this chapter. And these people had some gifts, but they had some sin in the church. And that sin had to be dealt with. And as I covered in the first part of this a few weeks ago, that sin had to be dealt with by the law sometimes, not just the church. Is that not what I said? Now we're looking at an area of, in our prayers even this morning where that's there. But that has to be there. Because there's penalties that has to be paid. And it's not up to the church to cover that, but to do what's right with that. Now, we talked about that. And we have illustrations of that. But these first 12 chapters show the problems. And sometimes I thought, well, you know, here is a church that had all the gifts and were commended in the first chapter, but had all these problems. They were human. All right? Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. People spend a lot of time when we get up in the latter part of this chapter doing away with part of this front part of this chapter or explaining the front part of this chapter. Paul is talking about these gifts and said, if I have these gifts, but I don't have charity, he said, I'm a tinkling cymbal and a sounding brass. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, it's not in giving, is it? We're to give, but we're to give in love. The Bible says that a man that seeth his brother in need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion for him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? That's scripture. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and hath not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Remember, we took these 12 chapters and showed these problems. And then here in 13, he's really nailing it down. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. There's charity. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Okay, the problem is this. When? Okay? When does it vanish away? What are we talking about? Knowledge, as we look at general knowledge, is not going to vanish away. It's going to increase. Right? But there's a part of knowledge that was in this church that's going to vanish away. That's the way Joe Allen sees it, okay? And I'll try to explain that real well as I go. You had tongues. Along with tongues, you had interpretation. You had prophecy. Along with prophecy, you had revelation. Along with prophecy also was a declaration of preaching. Just preaching the Word of God would could be considered prophecy too. Preaching the Word of God. Not that you're coming out and saying the world's going to melt with fervent heat, but you're warning a man that it's going to. That's prophecy. All right? But it says these things will vanish away. Well, when will they vanish away? All right, the three points that I see covered by great men of God, okay? And I hope we can look at this without and form a scriptural opinion. And one of those opinions is that it is spiritual maturity. Well, and the other opinion is it is face-to-face, as it says down there with Christ, face-to-face. Okay? And the other one is the Scriptures, when the Scriptures were complete. Well, when I take each one of them separately and try to prove it totally, it has a flaw here and there. If I take that it's spiritual maturity that we must go, well, when does that which is part go away with? All right. Some men will say that's spiritual maturity in itself. And when we're spiritual mature, we're never going to be spiritual mature till we see Him face to face. Amen? We're babies, even though we've been in this book a long time. So there's a flaw in that part. Also, if it's the Scriptures and you look just at the Scriptures in themselves, and when that which is perfect is come, that which in part shall be done away, then you're saying, well, part of the Scriptures was done away. I mean, you got to read this thing carefully. But you know what you got to do? You got to lay the whole book out in front of you. As we tried to do last week, you're looking at 12. You're looking at a church that was immature but had gifts. Is that not true? Shake your head one word. We're immature but had gifts. Those gifts did not reflect their spiritual character. When I say character, there's a lot of honest men who are not saved. There's a lot of good men, as we know, good, hard-working men who are not saved. I'm not talking about character to our neighbor. I'm talking about spiritual character, people who are mature in Christ. So, we're going to read a lot of verses here in a minute. But as we see that verse, when does these things go away? All right? One man will say, and a lot of guys, two of the guys I read behind, they have problems with what we call the fundamental camp. If you know what the fundamental camp is, that's your independent Baptists that come together there, and they're solid, they're good men of God. But they'll have problems with the fundamental camp in that they say that when the scriptures come, that these things went away. Well, these men will say that they use that just to get rid of tongues. All right? If I say it's, all right, I hope you understand where I'm coming from here. But if I look at this, that which is perfect, when it comes, that these things will be done away with, and I look at it as spiritual maturity, would that not mean that tongues would be there till I was spiritually mature? Or to when that which is spiritual mature come? Tongues were for a sign, right? And tongues were a gift. But tongues ceased. When did they cease? And one man will say, well, when the church was complete. The church is not complete. So God says it's complete. His body is complete. Then what we're going to do? We're going out of here. Amen? You know what, folks? This may be hard to understand, but I see this just like a watermelon, just like a cantaloupe, just like an apple that's been diced and quartered. And we all got pure old watermelon, and we all got pure cantaloupe, and we all got pure apple, but we don't have the whole apple. I can see, and I hope you can see, each point that these men are making are good points. But as I look at these scriptures, brother, when we try to separate, as I've said many times in this class, when we try to separate the Lord Jesus Christ from the Word, what do we have? Two different entities. Two different things, then you have conflict. You can't separate him from his word. You cannot. This Bible will not allow that. This King James Bible, some of the books will allow that. But this one will not. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. And his name, in the beginning was the Word. And in the end of Revelation, his name is called the Word of God. God communicates to man. Man communicates with language. Is that not true? Man communicates with language. In words. God was going to communicate with man with his Son, and he called him the Word of God. And when we hold this book in our hands, we're holding our communication with God. If you're expecting to get down here and God to move your spirit apart from this word, you're living dangerous. Honestly, folks. Hey, I have been wrong. I have been fooled in the political realm so many times. I'm serious. I have looked at that man and I'd say, boy, he bears with my spirit. Then after I really seen what he was all about, I said, boy, I made a mistake. Have you ever done that? See, the Word of God, God communicates with man with his spirit. He said in John chapter 16, he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. If a man's going to be set apart to be a complete Christian, how's he going to be set apart to do it? By the Word of God. And if he's not in word and in prayer, he is not going to be set apart. All right? It may take another week on this. Let's look at some scriptures here. We done killed 20 minutes. I hope we're not killing. I hope you see. Let me ask the class a question. You can talk to me. Is it not clear that it could be spiritual maturity? As the man goes on, is it not clear that it could be the scriptures? True. Is it not clear that it could be when we see Jesus face to face? True. Right. But is it not clear that this Bible teaches that I can behold my face as in a glass? True. One way or the other. Shake your head one way or the other. Is it not clear that it's a discerner and the thoughts of the intents of the heart, and there's no creature that's not manifest in whose sight? His sight. When he looks into this Word of God, he can. When you look into this Word of God, you might fool me, and you might fool your neighbor, but you're not going to fool yourself if you're a saved man. When I look at this Word of God as how I am supposed to live, buddy, I know right quick when the Holy Spirit says you are a failure. Now, James says, if I just turn around and go my way, is that not what he said? He said, if I look at that as one who beholds his face in the glass, then I just turn around and go my way. But when I look in this book, and it's called the perfect law of liberty, isn't it? Complete. It's complete. If I'm going to wait till the millennial, Paul's telling these people, these things are going to pass away, these gifts. We read 12 chapters that showed these gifts. And we showed the condition of the people who had these gifts. And he said, if you have these gifts and don't have charity, when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part shall be done away. You know what they were? Children with gifts. He said, when I was a child, let's read this on and we'll look at some notes. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, the Word of God's complete. But there's some spiritual maturity that has to come with it, right? All right, we're going to look at tongues. If you look at tongues in chapter 14, the charismatics, if you'll go back and study when they started, was about, what, 1904? And they thought they would evangelize the world in less than 20 years because they were speaking in tongues. Hadn't happened. Hadn't happened. When that which is perfect is come, that which is in part. There was a work going on that was in part. Last week, we looked at Hebrews chapter 6. I want you to turn there. And I read this just this morning. Early, I sat down and I looked. And I read this and I read two different thoughts on this. And I remember what Oliver B. Green said years ago. And Oliver B. Green, when we're looking at scale, I'm down here, he's up there, and then some of these other men in education are on up there. But still yet, what he said that I read many years ago made so much sense to me about these scriptures. When a man heard the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins but the fearful waiting of the judgment. Now watch this, and I'm going to try to cover some notes on this, and we'll go on this again next week some more. Therefore, leaving. He's telling them to leave something, is that not right? Therefore, leaving, not having or having left. He's telling them to leave something. He said some of you, in verse 9, have already left. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us, he's saying he's in the same boat, go on unto perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. He's saying, let us go on to completion. Let us go on to a mature Christian life. He said there's a foundation that's already been laid, right? But he said, let us go on from that foundation because it's milk. It's not meat. Of the doctrine of baptisms, in the Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, you'll receive the Holy Spirit. We're going to go on from that. Hebrews, remember when you're reading Hebrews, Hebrews is written to the Jew during the transition period, and to the Jew from the transition period of the tribulation to the millennial. But it's written to a Jew also in the transition period. Let's go on. Watch it. See, let us go on to perfection. Let's go on to completion. Of the doctrine of baptisms, there was many baptisms in the Old Testament. And one of them was John's baptism, showing the signs of Jesus. And one of them was baptism for the Holy Spirit. All right, then he says, and of the resurrection of the dead. When Jesus was talking to Mary and to Martha, they were familiar with the resurrection, but they weren't familiar with his resurrection, nor a spiritual resurrection. So there's some things that they had that they were going to have to leave because they were principles. And this will we do if God permit, for it is impossible. Now, some men say that this is the right word, hypothetical. It's something that couldn't even happen at all. I mean, I've read that. If, because it used the word if. But that's not, we can push that in the way right now. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. If, now, they should fall away. Now, if they could, a man that's been made a partaker of the Holy Ghost, that if does belong in there because he's not going to fall away. But he said, if he should fall away, it's impossible to renew him again through your sacrifices. They're not going to work anymore. And once you've heard the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection, you needn't bring your sacrifice anymore. That's as simple as I could understand and make it. All right? It involves six things here: repentance, faith toward God, baptisms, laying on of hands, the resurrection, and judgment. They believed in all these things. Martha said, yeah, Lord, I know we'll rise again in that last day. But he said, do you know that I'm the resurrection and life? I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. We were dead in trespasses and sin, but we have a spiritual resurrection in Jesus Christ. And we need to go on to perfection. We need to know these things. And how are we going to know these things? The Word of God. So that right there, you've got those things. And the Hebrews were to leave something. When? When were they to leave it? When he comes at the millennial? No. When he died on Calvary. You're going to leave this thing. Old Testament and the New Testament. And you can't live in that Old Testament and meet your Lord anymore. You'll meet him, but it'll be in judgment. Okay? He said, not laying again. Not laying again. So what's that telling me? Something was laid. And it was right when it was laid. He said, but let's don't lay it again. Let's go on to completion. Let's go on to that which is perfect. He laid it, but he won't lay it again. He laid down his life, but he won't lay it down again. He will go on if God permits. And if he don't go on, something's impossible. Isn't that clear in the scriptures? If he don't go on, if he don't accept it and go on, then something becomes impossible. That's that sacrifice I look at there is impossible anymore. You're not going to renew yourself to God with a sacrifice anymore. Because the Lamb of God has paid the debt. Maybe I'm too simple-minded to understand something, but I think sometimes just looking at it in the simplest form is about the best way to look at it. And understanding who the book is written to. It's written to a Hebrew. In the transition period between Acts 1 and 7, which is a swinging bridge, brother, if you're going to build it in doctrine. And it's built, it's written to the Jew in the tribulation to the millennial. Now, every bit of it we can be blessed by and see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in it and His great sacrifice. Now, I'm going to go on here in the last few minutes and just read some scriptures. And I'm going to talk about some of them here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we see the growth is dependent on what? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and in Hebrews chapter 4:12, and 5:12. We see the Word of God. And we see for a time you ought to be teachers. That's in 5:12. You have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles. Remember how we saw that? We're going to see it later. For a time we ought to be teachers. You have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. He's saying, let us go on to that complete Christian life. Let's leave these things. And let's go on. All right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we see a growth is dependent on the Word of God. And in Hebrews 4 and 5, we see that growth is dependent on the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, turn there. Second Timothy 3:15. I'm in First Timothy. I need to get to Second myself. And from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. For doctrine, what is right? For reproof, what's not right? For correction, how to get right? For instruction, how to stay right? Amen? That's the Word of God. That a man of God may be what? Perfect. Thoroughly furnished. Now, when this is read, it's read thoroughly. I have no problem with that. I told you in this class a few weeks ago when I looked that word up, and it was amazing to me how God moves and how He writes His book. Truly means complete in a thorough manner. Gone through, completed in a thorough manner. How can you watch? All scripture is given the inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Perfect. Throughly furnished unto all good works. Then he goes on in the next chapter, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead in his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. It's the word that makes a man complete. Not my stories of how I done it. Amen? Not my stories of how I done it or how I built my great work. We don't need that. We need the Word of God. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, with all longsuffering. You see, Paul, that's the way Paul thinks. All right, you see in 2 Timothy, the Word makes a man what? Complete. I can prove points by the Scriptures just as well as anybody else can. Now let's turn to Ephesians 4:8. Time is busting away again. Ephesians 4:8. This is a beautiful point that James Knox brought out in his book, The Miracles and the Signs. Have you read that? Some of you have read that book. That's a good book. I encourage you to check it out of the library and read it. There's two copies back there. Go sign them out and read them. It's a good study. It's talking about this complete Christian life. And he refers to that as that's what he's been talking about in 13. But as I put it together in my simple understanding, how can I be complete without the Word of God? I can't be complete. How can the church be complete? One man says it when the church was complete. Well, how can the church be complete without the Word? I think sometimes the fundamental camp, we just don't need them. We need to listen a little bit to them too. Amen? God, nobody has a private interpretation. I think all this, and I hope this makes sense, because I understand the Bible is not given to my opinion and another man's opinion. But I saw that as these men all had truth. But you know what they had? They had a slice of the pie in that truth. And people are afraid to stand up and say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And when I sit down and read God's Word, not this ink and not this pulpwood, I'm dealing with God personally. Am I not? Amen. If I'm dealing with God personally, and He gave me a complete book that He wanted me to have, and this book gives a revelation of Him. Hey. Ephesians 4:8. Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, and He led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that He ascended, what is it but that He also descended? First into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that He might fill all things. He's going to complete all things. For this church, for us in this time, they ain't the one thing we're waiting on to be complete totally. We have a copy of His Word. What are we waiting on? The hope of righteousness, that we'll put off this old flesh and be just like Him. And when a man says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that when I see Him face to face, I'll know even as I've known, he is right. But also when that man says that when I look into the perfect law of liberty and look into the Word of God, I can see myself face to face, he's right. And when the man said, let us go on unto perfection, the complete Christian life, which this book leads us to, he's right. But had you rather have just a piece of the apple or the whole apple? I want the whole thing. I can't sit down and debate with these people that write this. Well, man, I can't even speak the King's English good. But still, yeah. I look at this and I look at these men who are wiser than I am and smarter than I am, and I say, that's not complete. That is not the total package. The total package is in what? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And to be a complete Christian, we will be complete when we have the hope of righteousness, to wit, the redemption of our body. Then we'll be completely like Him. But we can see Him as He is now by looking in this perfect law of liberty. And we can grow thereby. We can grow by this book. I am so shocked when I see that me and my wife sat and talked one day this week, some of the things we hear from family and people like that who are in churches all the time and so ignorant of what God said. And then you go to a certain group and they've got, oh man, they like to read that Bible, pass that quarterly around, and everybody's got an opinion. I respect your opinion, and if it's better than mine, I'm going to put it in this book and see if I need some help. As I told you, I looked at the 13th chapter of Corinthians for years, and the only direction I had come from a campfire, Brother Ernest, in your Sunday school class back many years ago when Brother Terry got up and preached the message beside a campfire on the 13th chapter of Corinthians, charity never faileth, but where there be tongues, they'll cease. And took and showed how when that scripture became out there, the sign gifts, you don't need a sign anymore. When I'm on this parking lot, I don't need a sign points this way and says you're at Gospel Light Baptist Church. Right? I got the complete Word of God. But you see, just because I've got that complete Word of God don't make me a complete Christian. I need to go on to perfection, go on to maturity, and not lay again a foundation that I laid before when I was ignorant. That's clear. That's clear to me. I've been made aware of some things, and this book's what makes me aware of them. And I'm also made aware that I can be wrong. And somebody else may have a better. And that's when I look at it, I want to compare apples to apples. I want to compare scriptures to scriptures. What does the Word of God say? Not that I build a foundation under what I already believe. When I read James's book and I saw that complete Christian life, I said, that's amazing to me. You know what it done? A beautiful writing, a beautiful book. Just encouraged me more that the Word of God was communicating with me and making me a complete Christian. And I needed to go on to that and not lay them same old things. Right? If I'm in a place of learning or in a church and I'm learning something, I need to go on. If God shows me something, just because that church is in that pattern, don't mean that mean I need to stay in that pattern. I need to go on. I need to get more fellowship with God and learn more about God. And know that it's His Word. And you think I haven't been scolded many times in my life for what I say about the Word of God? I have been scolded when I, are you making the Word of God God? Yeah, I am. Yes, I am. How do you know me? You know, when you look at me, this old flesh. But do you know me by what? My actions and what I've said to you. And what I actually do. How do we know God? How do you know God? We know Him by His actions, by this universe that He created. And we know He created a new man in our heart. But we know Him by what He says to us every day. Amen? And when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. Now, go back to those first 12 chapters. And He told those people, you're puffed up, you're sinning, you're having sex with family members, you're doing all this thing, and you have these gifts. Brother, you need to go on to perfection. Charity don't fail. Whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. Joseph Smith got some glasses and made some prophecy, right? You know what it's going to do? It's going to fail. And look how many people's following him. Did you ever read about Joseph Smith? And I'm going to close with this. You know what he took into the tabernacle? I don't want to offend any of you, but I'm going to tell you better study this. He took his Mason theology into the Mormon temple and enacted it there. The Bible says, you have no other gods before me. And any prophecy that comes after that, it's going to fail. And whether there be tongues, they're going to cease. And they have. Because they were signs. And the only sign that we've got now is Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days, so shall the Son of Man be in the center of the earth. And you'll accept that by faith through His Word. Lord, thank You for this day You've given us. And God, thank You for Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.